So we're obviously going to be filming this and putting together a video later. But I just wanted to let everybody know a little bit about the situation we're actually in. I can imagine that in the Soviet Union, just before the rise of Stalin, and in Germany, just before the rise of Hitler, there were groups like ours gathering together and talking about how are we going to stop this tyranny from overtaking our countries. And unfortunately, in those cases, they obviously didn't do enough to stop that tyranny from happening, and it happened. And I feel like maybe some of you will agree with this, maybe some of you won't. I feel like our country is on the verge of that kind of thing right now. And that's why we formed People's Rights, is to come together and help each other defend our rights. So today we have a very special speaker. I'm honored that Barrett Lapigian is here because the Tin Horn Flats Rebellion saga is really close to my heart, because I was there and I participated in the protests, and myself and Mr. Ash here next to me were both arrested for standing behind the fence that they erected around Tin Horn Flats. But before we introduce Barrett, I think Ash wanted to say a word or two.
Yeah, just hi guys, I'm Ash. Most of you know me, but Ashley from New Zealand, obviously with my accent. So just my 2 cents, or rather with the Joe Biden inflation, it's now 10 cents on things. I just want to say, like, people's rights, what is it? Real quick, you know, people's rights, let's break it down. People have rights. People have God-given rights. I just wanted to make it clear, like, people have God-given rights protected by the Constitution. You guys, your founding fathers got a dead right. So the Constitution doesn't give you rights. That's where people F it up all the time. Constitution protects your God-given rights you already have. It's a very important distinction to make. Subtle, yet important. Now, what does it mean in practical terms? Well, you have the right to walk the street and not get harassed. You have the right to go to a supermarket and not get robbed. You have a right, heaven forbid, to open up a saloon and, you know, in the middle of whatever, it's fake pandemic, real pandemic, you've got the right to operate a bar or a business. So no one has the right to shut you down. So I just wanted to add my spin on what people's rights is. You've got those rights. That's why we're here. We bond together. If your rights, heaven forbid, are ever violated, we got a network to help. On the note of Tin Horn Flats, I just wanted to add a few things, I guess, a walk down memory lane. So back in the day, there was dozens, if not hundreds of us, you know, protesting Tin Horn Flats. You know, they were trying to shut them down, doing everything in their power. Long story short, they built a chain link fence around the saloon, and that was kind of the final thing. But then we were turning up, and then that week there was, what, a couple of hundred of us? Felt like a couple of hundred, might have been less. But anyways, somehow the chain link fence door was open. We got behind the chain link fence, and that's when the drama started. You know, a dozen police cars came, wanted to arrest a few of us who remained behind the chain link fence. So I don't know if this is making sense. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But we were standing on the sidewalk inside the chain link fence, but outside the saloon, who were the police were trying to shut it down because of the scamdemic. Anyway, so me, Adam, and Eric got arrested. But what's funny is I wanted to share a little thing, a conversation I had with my neighbor who's liberal, but an old school liberal. He's like 77 years old. But you know, it's funny. He got it. During 21, he got it, what we were doing. He said, "You know what, Ash? I know what you're doing, man." I said, "What?" He said, "It's like us in Vietnam, man. The Vietnam protest. You got to..." He said, "Listen, Ash, listen." And he was like naked, just had his underwear on the balcony. It's funny. He said, "Listen, man, you guys, you got to be prepared to get arrested." I was like, "Hell, where's this guy coming?" Because he knew my stance. He knew I was conservative, yet he was old school liberal. He said, "You need to get prepared to be arrested, man." It's like, wow, blew me away. So we were, and in fact, a bunch of us, we stood up for that Tin Horn Flats like it was our own, basically, and we go, yep, we're prepared to be arrested. Anyways, I'll leave it there, shall I? We'll get Barrett LePagean up. You guys came to see him. Here he is, Barrett LePagean. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming out. I mean, it's really nice to see you all. You know, it's been a hell of a ride. And it's funny because something like this, you know, whether it's my situation or my family's situation, you know, with my son and daughter, and really for all of us here, it's not something we signed up for. It's not, you know, I mean, things seemed like, you know, I want to say a few things about myself, my life, you know. My mom and dad came to the U.S. in 1969. My background is Armenian. And they were both born in the Middle East. You know, Armenians are the first Christians. So they're from the country of Jordan, okay, from Amman to be specific. And it's just, my mom didn't want us being raised in that environment. You know, I'll keep that politically correct. You know, she wanted to come to a country where there was opportunities, where, you know, the level of hard work you do, you're benefited by it. So I was five, and my brother was born in L.A. So I was born in Germany, came here at five. I don't think I even spoke English. At five, I spoke Armenian, and then we had lived for a year in Jordan before we came out, so I actually spoke some Arabic. So when I got put into a public school, I had to figure things out pretty quick, you know? And it was fine. It worked out. I was raised in a family business. You know, my dad first worked for somebody, you know, I know in 1969 he was making $1.25 an hour, okay? And then we went to visit family a few years later, back to Jordan, just to say, hey, yeah, we're there now. We've got an apartment and so on. And when he came back, he was like a week late getting back. I mean, we're talking about like this is like 1970, 71. You know, there was no internet, of course. There's no phone. So he was less than a week late getting back to his job. They fired him. They're like, oh, yeah. Even though he was like the manager, he was the main guy. And that's how my father started his own business. He said, look, you know, I mean, I've got a toddler and I've got a kid. I can't be fired, you know. And it's just like, I'm going to start my own business. I'm not going to call your clientele, but this is all I know how to do. So he came to Burbank in 1970, and he started out on the corner of Magnolia and Hollywood Way, just a small shop. I don't know how many of you remember. There used to be an Oscar's haircut. He was there for 40. Anyway, he was right next door to that. And I was raised in that environment. And I loved what my father did. He was, you know, our clientele were photographers. Like all kinds of photographers. Like really famous photographers. Celebrity photographers. Rock and roll photographers. Which over all the years was a real privilege. Because I got to hang out and work with some of, you know, the most famous, most interesting people in the world. Whether it's celebrities or rock stars. So I started working with my dad at 14. And again, the reason I'm telling you this story is I saw the harder my parents worked and the more, you know, I was still a kid, but the more I did, I saw something grow. You know, it's like a tree or a plant that you plant and the thing gets bigger. And I knew why my parents had come to this country, you know. And my dad would always say, son, all you got to do is be straight. You know, this is an environment where people take you for who you are. Doesn't matter you're Armenian. It doesn't matter you're this, you're that. You know, just do the best quality work and people are going to come to you. He used to say, it was like a painted sign just in block letter. I say, Dad, you know, at one point, don't you think we should have a sign outside, something a little? He's like, no. He goes, we don't even need a sign. He goes, they'll find us. So that was the mentality. My parents worked, that lab lasted 35 years until things, you know, went digital and so on. And that was luckily a gradual thing. But they worked really hard so that my brother and I, when they retired, had something. Well, that was the reason why I bought Tin Horn Flats. In 2004, when I bought Tin Horn Flats, I saw my family industry going downhill. You know, just with digital cameras and all that. So I figured, you know, I mean, if I can run a photo lab, I can probably run a restaurant bar. And it worked out. you know, my first year, I was kind of confused, and there was a lot of issues and figuring it out, and I'm not running it. I don't know how to bartend. So you sort of, it's more about management, whereas in the photo lab, I did everything. You know, if somebody didn't show up, no problem. I jump in. My whole idea for buying that was, okay, I want to leave something for my children, you know, so like when I retire. You know, all I'm going to say is what happened 3 years ago was not the American way. I mean, I think you guys will all agree. There was no part of that. You know, my mom and dad passed away, you know, in 05 and 06. If I had explained, if they could see what happened, they would never have believed it. They came to this country because that shit didn't happen, is what they thought. And here, I mean, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, some people just, you know, they're on Instagram, whatever. They said, oh, no mask, no this. We weren't like that. You know, I called up the city of the Burbank PD from Thailand. I was in Thailand at the time. And I said, look, this thing's gotten completely out of control. And I was completely transparent. I told them, I'm going to open. I'm seriously, and I'm calling you, Burbank PD. You guys know my dad from the 1970s. You know me. I ran the lab. I have Tin Horn. They're like, oh, yeah, sir, we know you, you know? I said, I want to open Tin Horn. I just want to know, are you going to come and arrest my children? If they were, I wasn't going to open, you know? They took about 10 minutes, and the lady was really nice, you know, the lady on the phone. She came back. She goes, sir, she goes, you know, they're talking about it. I'm like, okay, good. Give me an accurate response because I need to know. She came back. She goes, we will absolutely not enforce that. So I said, my kids, she goes, look, other government agencies. And I told them, I'm not interested in other government agencies. You know, I can't stand the health department. They're a bunch of idiots anyway. I mean, I know what they're really looking for. And I assure you, the health department can care less about anybody's health here. It was all bullshit. All bullshit. Okay. Anyway, I said, look, I'll deal with those guys. I just want to know you guys aren't going to come in guns drawn, arrest my children, cuff them, and take them away. Absolutely not. We're not going to do it. And I told them, I said, I want to be honest, super, super transparent. I'm opening. Do what you want. And that's how this started. When we did open, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how serious COVID was. Now, again, I'm going to tell you my opinion. I think COVID is a scam. 100%. Okay. So, I mean, people get sick. I think like 50,000 people every year die of the flu. Okay. So, you know, okay, I'm not a doctor, but at some point, but I still told my children, if you think about it, what did I have in that building? I had my two kids. That's all I got. I got my two kids, and most of my customers are my friends. Okay. So it's everything I got. You know, everything that means anything to me, you know, and they're not customers. These are people that I hung out with. I mean, Bill's here tonight. You know, I mean, Bill's a Bears fan. I mean, these are people my family and I cared about. I wasn't out to endanger my children, and I certainly wasn't out to endanger my customers, my friends. So I told my kids, you got to do, you know, put up the thermometer, not the thermometers, you know, the checks. Do what they're saying, you know, play along, but use your common sense. And that's the single thing they didn't want us to use. And the one thing my parents instilled in me is always think for yourself. So, okay, in the beginning, it just seemed like, okay, you know, and I'd call, you know, three times a day. Guys, everything cool, you know, And my son was just like, Dad, everything's fine. You know, don't worry. I'm like, okay, well, but we still don't know. I mean, what this COVID thing is, just be really careful, mask up, make sure everyone's doing their thing, you know. But on the other hand, we're not cops. Excuse me. We're not cops. I'm not going to tell somebody that brings in their family. Remember, there was a time where even if you came in with your own family, you had to sit 6 feet apart. Dude, who am I or who are my kids to be telling people where they're going to sit? Again, the last time I checked, we live in a free country. And I'm not going to be telling people how to act, especially people that are, they're not going to another restaurant. They're coming to my restaurant. Okay? They're giving us the privilege of making a living. My employees are going to make money. I'm not going to boss people around on how or where they're going to eat or with who they're going to sit. I'm not going to do it. Really, it was still fine. Everything was okay. Then they shut it down. Okay? Then they said, okay, you got to close. It can only be to go. And that's really when I called up the Burbank PD. I said, I'm not going to do that. I have a huge outdoor patio, and if people come in and they pick up their food, we're doing to go. But they go outside and they sit. If you think I'm going to kick them out, you got another thing coming, because I'm not going to do that. So that's how it started. Imagine, you know, imagine that's it. Everyone's masked and everything. You know, my point is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, one thing I want to make really clear, you know, I really don't care who closed, who didn't. I don't care who wears a mask, who doesn't wear a mask. What I care about is we all have a right to make our own decisions. Okay. My whole stance with the city back then was, and my son has echoed it pretty well, you know, every time he's spoken, just freedom. You know, we're free to make our own judgment. We're not children here. Okay. And now if you look in retrospect and you see, you know, I mean, it was bullshit. It really was. But even in the initial part, you could smell it. Something's wrong here. You know, nothing's making. How about, you know, when you stood up and you were going to go to the bathroom, you had to put your mask on. Okay, so you go, you go to the bathroom, and then coming back, you got to have your mask on. But when you sit, you can take your mask off. Like, who buys that? Okay, again, my parents taught me, think for yourself. So, you know, the thing about it is, a lot of people, you know, now people are arguing, oh, you got the shot, I didn't. Who cares? If someone felt like they wanted to get it, that's up to you. But don't force me or put me into a situation, whether it's my job, you know, whether, I mean, look at our military. What a mess. I mean, these are the people that are supposedly looking out for us. You know, the fact that we send them on business missions to make money, I mean, that's not their fault. That's our government's fault. Okay? I mean, if you look now, you know, the worst thing that happened out of this COVID crisis, for me, when I was growing up in my parents' business, I didn't think about, you know, I was never a quote, conspiracy theorist. I was never a, quote, activist. I didn't have time for that. You know, I was doing a business. You know, I was helping a business. I love paying taxes. I do. Because the more tax you pay, it means you're making a lot of money. And we were very profitable. Okay, so like to me, I didn't give it much thought. The one thing that they screwed up on is they woke up people like me and like you guys. I don't think we were doing, you know, protests and, you know, the people that really came out in support of my family and my business, they're not radicals. They're just people that knew something is wrong here. Okay, and one other thing. I played by the rules since I was 14 years old in Burbank, okay? I did what I thought was the right thing. And I don't necessarily follow laws because it's the law and I'm scared. No, I do the right thing. You know, when you go into the kitchen, anyone that worked for me knew it had to be spotless. I eat there, my children eat there, and all my friends eat there. So to me, a lot of what we do, again, we're back to common sense. I don't need the government telling me how to use my common sense, because at some point, that's where that fine line of tyranny is, okay? And it's like, it's that slippery slope. So I'm going to give you guys an update. You know, I haven't put anything on Instagram. You know, I came back. You know, I'm back and forth between Thailand. I moved to Thailand because my brother lived there. You know, when our parents passed away in 05, 06, you know, I'm a little bit of a tougher guy. I'm resilient. My brother took it really hard. Our business was going kind of shitty anyway. And I just said, look, you know, and we had been to Thailand many times with my kids. Talia and Lucas have been there a million times because I had one of my best friends from high school moved there with his wife and had three children in Thailand. Well, his two oldest children are exactly within months the same age as Talia and Lucas. So we would go to Thailand, and Thailand's a really cheap place to go, to be honest, as far as monetary. We would go, and we would hike, you know, northern Thailand. I mean, it was amazing, and the kids would see a different culture, a different way of thinking, you know, and then, of course, they'd appreciate coming back to America, you know. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Oh, thank you. So I came back. I came back to LA December 6th. Okay. Guess what? They brought a judge in. Okay. That judge was my divorce judge. Him and I have a history. Okay. And I'll spare you guys from my divorce, but I was one of those people when the divorce happened, I was like, listen, what does she want? I don't want the kids going through it. We had a deal worked out, and that deal got changed a million times. And so towards the end, I said, you know what? I'm not going to represent myself. I'm just going to say this for just so you know the background. So I just go into court with no legal counsel. And I was basically like, you know what? Screw you guys. You know what? I've given everything I got. I got nothing left to give. I got nothing to lose here. Well, he didn't like me because I'd literally make smart-ass remarks in the courtroom where everybody in the courtroom would start busting up. You know, I mean, just one-liners and so on. Well, they brought him in for Tin Horn Flats. Okay? And he looked at it. You know, the city was trying to get hundreds of thousands. I think it was like 400,000. They wanted me to pay for the fence. They wanted me to pay for the police every week. They wanted me to pay for the health department, you know, on and on, you know, all their ridiculous tears. So he threw that out, luckily. You know, I had that hanging over my head for the last 3 years, but he threw out my case. Okay. Now, of course, okay, one other thing I want to say. Tin Horn Flats is two cases. Okay. Completely separate. There's the LA County who took away my health permit originally, and that's what Burbank piggybacked on and took away the conditional use permit. They said, oh, you don't have this, so we're going to take away this, and it's like the snowball effect. So my point is now, you know, I mean, I'm lucky. I've got a guy like Mark Garagos, famous guy, you know, he's the attorney to celebrities, you know. I'm not a celebrity, but for some reason, he sees something in this case. And you know, there's a lot of high-profile people that follow this. I'm talking about super high government officials, you know, and they really don't want me mentioning them, so I won't. But believe me when I say this thing goes all the way to the top. There's a lot of people keeping an eye on this. And while I love Garagos, you know, he's not a charity in any way whatsoever, but I think that keeps him on my side too. Knowing that there's a huge impact on what happens to Tin Horn Flats, especially with Burbank. Now, my case against LA County is set for trial, you know, and I have a date on that, November. That just got pushed back. Bottom line is they're going to try. Yeah, I can assure you guys I'm exhausted. I am, you know, because it's not like physical exhaustion. I just always want to raise my kids, do the right things, and I'm a really happy guy in general. I see the world really in a positive light. Even with all this negativity going on, I really think we're going to beat them out. I do. I do. Because even the greatest idiots that went along with it, and by the way, the greatest idiots are really, I don't want to call them the enemy because that's super divisive and I'm trying to stay away from that. Because I promised my daughter I would. But they're really the problem. The government can't do anything to us. They can't. If people stand up, like you guys did, they can't do shit. Okay? But when you've got people online posting, yeah, shut them down, you know. Now, no one's saying shut down Tin Horn Flats, knew me personally. Well, maybe two people. okay? One of them's a Bears fan, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, but outside of that, 98%, you know, all the time. Oh, another one, you know, like they don't know me. Oh, Bear LaPagian is in Thailand because he's running away from the law because he owes, you know, this or that, or he's a criminal. I mean, you know, people can go out and steal $1,000, but I can't go after someone hurting my reputation. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, people get away with murder, but someone that's done the right thing their whole life, you know, you kind of have to put up with it. If you don't have a tough skin, you don't have a stand. You don't have a chance of standing. But getting back to what I was saying, it is exhausting. So now I thought I was coming to resolve this thing, and what I really wanted to do is just sort of bounce back and forth. I have family, you know, my brother's there, my kids are here. Now I got another year to deal with bullshit, you know, and it's just, you know, from a money point of view, oh, I ran out a long time ago. I mean, you know, how much can you pay Garagos? You know what I mean? So it's not like this is just accumulating, you know, there's unless you're a high level celebrity making tens of millions of dollars, there's no way somebody could be fighting this for years. What I do is I just keep at it online. You know, I've got 10,000 people, which is nothing. It's a drop in a bucket for social media. But those 10,000 people have been amazing. You know, and they're vocal and whatever else. So, you know, that's where we're at with Tin Horn Flats. And for me, you know, you guys got arrested, okay? For me, I can't give this up. Okay, what does that do for what you guys did? Okay, I find that a moral obligation now. You know, I mean, if Garagos changes his mind for some reason, I don't think he will. You know, I have a really good, but I'm going to go find somebody else. I'm not going to let this thing go. You know, do I want to resolve it? More than anything, I can begin to tell you. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to stand here and tell you. You know, it's not exhausting. And, you know, in your life, you get to choose. Every day we wake up. You know, do I want to be positive today? Or do I want to be an asshole? Really? You know, I mean, it's just I choose to wake up in the morning and I want to be positive. I want to be a role model for my kids. You know, I like, look, dad is a positive guy. I like to help people. I like to contribute. You know, whatever these things are, you know, I don't want to be negative, but this is a very toxic situation. And I'm stuck, you know, I'm stuck. And it's okay. I mean, it's not, this isn't a call for sympathy. But do I hate it? Yeah, I do, to be honest. Especially after the first year, I was just pissed, you know. Especially when they arrested my son, arrested people that were looking out for me, you know. After that, it's just, then you're in it, you know? You know, I wanted to say something about this. My mom had a heart problem, okay? So she had surgery at Cedars-Sinai in LA, and so she had two artificial valves. And the reason I tell you that is once she had that, you know, there's the whole list of prescriptions she had to take. I mean, her kitchen looked like a pharmacy, okay? She took blood thinner. She took this. She took that, you know? And my mom was a really straight, really brave lady, you know? But she was, you know, she did what they said. A few years before she died, she just goes, son, she goes, let me tell you something. She goes, I've been in the medical system now for 20 years. She goes, you know, she goes, I can't live wherever I want. I got to be within the pharmacy that knows me. I got to be within the hospital that knows me. You know, if you think about it, you know, like Edward Bedalian that was here, he's in the system now. Okay. There's nothing that boy could do. He's incarcerated. That's what they're trying to do. This currency that they're trying to get, okay, which in Thailand is in full force. Okay. It's a system. Once you're in these systems, whether it's the health or you know, God forbid, you know, you get cancer, you're in a system. You know, you need certain care. And like, you may not need that care. There's a lot of options. The system doesn't tell you you have options. You know, they're going to tell you what you need. And unless, you know, you have somebody from the outside or you're going to read or whatever, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, Google's a great thing. You know, YouTube's a great thing. But really, when you Google, the same shit comes up. You know, it's not an open forum like everything. You know, yeah, it's what they want. You know, I mean, unless I get super creative in my searches, and then, you know, my brother's a techie, so he shows me, you know, I don't even Google anymore, you know, different searches, but it's still a narrower view than what there is in the world. We live in a very wide place, but we're given a tunnel vision. You know, the other thing I'm going to say is, you know, so we got the Democrats and the Republicans, right? I'm just going to share what I think of the last 3 years. And you know, some of you might hate me for saying this. Believe me, they're the same shit. They are. I don't think, okay, I mean, obviously, you can see what's going on in the country, and I don't want to speak to that. Well, I mean, we're all upset. You know, I look at, you know, how my daughter has to, you know, filling up with 550 gas, and that's a small thing. But in general, you know, what makes me feel really bad is I grew up in the 80s, and I tell you, that was fun. We had a good time. There was freedom. You know, I'd wake up money. You know, I'd wake up. I knew I liked working 12 hours a week. I'd go out. You know, Walter's my friend here with the LA cap. He's the hardest worker I know. Walter's never going to say no to something, you know. Now, that's sort of a privilege. It really is. Because if you think about it, I mean, just look, wages have stayed. I mean, if you look at the last 30 years, where have wages gone? You know, 30 years ago, you could have made 50 grand. You were pretty good. Now, what do you got to make now, honestly, to live that standard? And there's no way a family, unless the husband and wife is working. See, to me, that's the system, okay? Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to kill out the middle class. It really is. And if not kill it, just make it like, it's almost like a six-lane highway. That once you're on a two-lane highway, there's no passing anymore. You know, one wrong move, you're going to get into a head-on collision. You know, that's where we're at. Me personally now, you know, I look at how it is, you know, going forward. I'll never cooperate with the system again. I don't trust it, especially California, but most specifically LA. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, if you could, would you open up Tinhorn Flats? You know what, you guys? Absolutely not. Can you imagine, you know, going back into business with your enemy? You know, who's going to come? Who's going to be my health department? You know, the city of Burbank, the cops. You know, these guys all hold a grudge, okay? So for me, you know, I got two kids. That's all I care about. And, of course, the community. And I care about this new generation. You know, I'm going to be 60 next year. You know, I'm really thankful. I had great parents. People talk about privilege. Yeah, I was privileged by two kick-ass parents that made me who I am. You know, they taught me how to think for myself. That's privilege, okay? The rest of it, you know, I feel bad, really bad, for 20-something-year-olds. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, they're all on TikTok or this or that. You know what? That's bullshit. You know, I see my daughter's friends. They're amazing, you know. But I tell you something, every one of them is stressed. Not like people my age are. I wasn't stressed when I was their age. And I look at what they're stressed about. It's a drag. You know, I mean, yeah, let's face it. Everyone's addicted to their phone. But again, people talk crap about being addicted to your phone. If you're learning something from that phone, that's still okay. But anyway, I don't want to get too into it. For me, the most important thing is now is the next generation. It really is. Because that's what it is. If these guys get on that digital currency, and you know it's a flip of a switch. That's why I would never buy an electric car. You know, I don't want anything where they can control me. anyway, that's about it. You know, please, you know, if you have any questions at all, let's do that in a very informal way. I would be more than happy. I want you guys all to know I'm pretty much a very me personally now person. You know, I don't, you know, whatever's happening is open to the public.
Okay, folks, if you do have a question for Barrett, thank you for the talk. Appreciate it. If you do have a question for Barrett, please come up to the microphone. We'll form a line right here. And then after the Q&A with Barrett, we're also going to have an open mic period if you want to say anything. And I know that there's a couple people here that might want to do that. So come on up to the mic and ask away.
Without compromising too much of what's happening with the court case, could you please, from the horse's mouth, tell us, I didn't know there was two cases going on. I don't even know what's going on. Can you tell us, first of all, the truth, what's happening with the cases? You said one got dismissed. I don't know anything about that one. Could you tell us more? And also, can you give us a current update on what's happening with Ten Horn?
Yes.
Okay.
So December 6th was supposed to be a jury trial, you know? And basically, let me tell you something I've never said before. So with Mark Garagos, you know, and he, you know, Mark is a hard person to get a hold of. You know, he's got all the sports guys, and he's got all the celebrities. You know, and I'm somebody. I don't call him. I really don't. I don't want to be a burden. For me, it's the larger mission. I'm just thankful this guy's representing me, and it's not just me. It's really people that think like us, you know, that don't want to be. So I don't blow it. I'm not like that squeaky wheel that, hey, Mark, what's going on? So I figure if he's got something to say, he'll call me. He told me about 6 months ago, he goes, I've never seen anything like this where the city of Burbank, I mean, there's only so many times you can throw out a case before the judge will tell you to go to hell. You know, tell the attorneys to go to hell. Except we're dealing with the city of Burbank's attorneys. So, like, four or five separate attempts. And they keep saying the same thing. It's not like there's anything new going on. So, you know, they brought in this judge that I would imagine doesn't like me. You know? It just, we had a history from years before. And he just took one look at it and goes, yep, this is off the calendar. You know, that's the world we live in now. I mean, you know, everybody talks about a rigged system. If that's not rigged, I'm not sure what is. And what am I to do? Sure, I can appeal it. You know, but I was looking at statistics on appeals and so on. I mean, it's a hard thing. And for me, they were the target. Burbank was the target because it's like they were the ones. They're bastards. They are. The city of Burbank and the city council, get this, on they're the biggest motherfuckers in the world. That Constantine Anthony, you know what? I'll be honest with you. He doesn't even qualify for me to call him anything. Because honestly, I shouldn't even talk about that guy. He's a nobody. And as Mark Garagos says, he's a perfect example of someone that fails to the top of a failed system. So, I mean, he's the mayor of Burbank, you know, and you guys know he wasn't elected, right? You know, every so often, however it works, I mean, I'm not exactly sure. But what I am sure of is that the way the cycle works, they'll just put him in and like, okay, you can be the mayor. You know, we elect you. It's another council, you know. And let me tell you something. I mean, there's a few new people. One of them, no names, it's a gal. I reached out to her. Because I have multiple friends that are friends with her. I said, look, you know, I know it's very controversial with me, but I'd like to at least speak with you. She blew me off. She wanted nothing to do with it. She's all they care about is power. And they knew that having anything to do with Tin Horn Flats or me was going to, you know, knock out half the people that were going to vote for her. So it's all just... We're dealing with really low-life people here. We really are. Keep that. So I try and keep that in mind when I'm battling these people. You know, if someone's evil, but at least they're to you and it's a real fight, that's one thing. But I will say it again. We live in a very rigged system. It ain't what it used to be when my parents came to this country. And then, and in the last part, from my understanding, and this is literally all I know, L.A. County is December 6th.
Okay, so then wait. So you had a court. You had a court case against L.A. County, and then you had a court case
yes.
against the city of Burbank.
Still do.
So which? So city of Burbank got thrown out.
Yes.
So that's you're not suing them anymore. That's off the table.
Oh no! I'm not giving up on it.
Okay.
I'm
going to
appeal it.
So November is the court case that is now
of next year
with L.A. County for
yes.
your illegal shutdown.
And I don't think that can be thrown out.
Okay.
But again, I didn't think this was going to be thrown out. But no, I have an exact date for that. And you know, there's one other thing I got to tell you guys. There was Garagos interviewed Constantine Anthony. It was like an hour and a half. I mean,
how recently?
About a year ago.
A deposition.
Hey, step up to the mic, guys.
Yeah. It was a deposition.
A legal deposition.
And also, we had a deposition with the health inspector. I'll just tell you guys this. With Constantine Anthony, you know, he got Garagos kept pushing him and pushing him. He said, oh, yeah. He said it was 100% political with Tin Horn Flats. Admitted in a legal deposition. Okay? So with the health department, you know, I have a history with this lady. She'd come in. Literally, this is a woman that was hired that has no idea about the law or about health. You know, she just knows that, oh, fridge has got to be this temperature. I mean, she's so abstract, I can't begin to tell you. So Garagos started asking her some questions about mandates. But, you know, she didn't know a single one. So he asked her, he said, so you don't know the laws from the last 3 months that affect his business. You know, we have it in a taped deposition. She goes, I have no idea. So, I mean, I've got this kind of testimony and, you know, they're still kicking stuff out, you know. So, I mean, I thought right there, they're done. And, you know, I wasn't broadcasting it. I wasn't talking about it, you know, about the only people that knew about it were my two kids. I sent it to them, you know, because I was on the Zoom meeting with Anthony. I mean, if you guys heard him talk, you know, for an hour and a half, I mean, it's painful. It's really scary that this guy represents anything that we're involved with. You know, this guy is a complete moron. You know, but not, I'm not trying to be mean. You don't understand how stupid this dude is. And another thing, it's one thing to be stupid. You could be you could still be a good person. You know, maybe your intelligence or your IQ or whatever. No. This guy will say or do anything to gain any kind of notoriety. You know, now he's running for LA supervisor. You know, I can't imagine anybody voting for him, especially after the Spanky incident, you know. But my point is, this is a guy that, you know, what I'm trying to say is he doesn't think things out. You know, you could kind of be slow, but think things out a little. You know, I mean, and one other thing, in his deposition, he's never done a thing in his life. Okay, so he's a comedian. Nothing against comedians, all right? We're all comedians to a degree, I guess. But I mean, he's waited tables. You know, my kids wait tables. I wait tables. Again, nothing against the hospitality industry. But this guy has never done anything. And then he's the Burbank mayor. How does this work? You know, and one other thing. Listen, I don't care about what lifestyle or this or that. But, you know, at some point you represent a certain population, okay? And you want to be fair and equal. You don't want to be super pissing off some people and really, you know. This guy, that's what he does. You know, he's a divider. He knows by doing certain actions, especially on camera, it's going to really upset people. I understand you have convictions, but these aren't things to push your convictions. You know, it's one thing to stand when the government's bringing tyranny on you or your family. But for the stuff he's doing, you know, where he got national ridicule, why? Because you're really making the people in your city look like idiots. You know, I mean, you know, he was on Fox News and everything, and they were talking about Burbank. You know, even with all the negative feelings I have about Burbank, I knew my parents started a business there. I felt bad. I did. I felt bad for old Burbank. Anyway.
So, Barrett, your story is strikingly similar to several other stories that we've heard, including Edward Bedalian and Derek Kennison, both J6 defendants, and now with Ammon Bundy. I think the process that you're going through, the system as you described it, the system and the process is the punishment.
Right.
Because they're using the legal system as a weapon now.
100%.
It has nothing to do with justice. It has nothing to do with fairness. They're just using it as a weapon to hurt people. And I was wondering if you could just speak to what has been the personal cost to you and to Lucas, your son.
You know, I want to start that out on a positive note. You know, I mean, my biggest, you know, I'll be honest with you. The whole reason I even got married was to have children. You know, I mean, you know, it's like I'm not necessarily this is going to sound terrible, but I'm not a romantic, you know, old school romantic. I believe in integrity and hard work and a family. You know, it's like these are the things. It's how you do it, what you do. Romantic love. Hey, that could happen. What is the percentage of that? I don't know anybody that's romantically in love. But anyway, that's just me. So my point is all my effort went into my children. That's what I cared about, is raising them right, you know, whether it's their schools. You know, it's funny. My brother and I, we grew up in Toluca Lake, North Hollywood, one block on the other side of Clybourne, you know, so you got Burbank on the one side and it's LA on the other. So we always went to public school. I went to Walter Reed Junior High, and then my brother and I both graduated from North Hollywood High. So I still live there. Like within a block on the same side of Clybourne, you know? So when my kids were old enough, my natural thing was to take them to those schools. So I went, and I'm one of those parents that, you know, I want to meet the principal, and I'm not a pain in the ass, but I at least want to know there's some kind of a basic value that I'm going to be okay with. And I'll never forget the Toluca Lake school teacher. This is elementary school right on Cahuenga and Camarillo there. You know, it was a group of about six or eight parents. She pulled me aside. She goes, "Sir," she goes, "can I be honest with you?" I go, "Yeah." I go, "Please be." She goes, "This isn't for you." I go, "How so?" She goes, "You're not going to be happy here." She goes, "You know," I get it. She goes, "You went here." She goes, "This is a different era." She goes, "None of the questions you're asking me are going to happen." I'm like, "I really appreciated that." That's it, you know. So I had to put my kids in private school. You know, I mean, not the most expensive one, not the cheapest one. But, you know, I mean, paying, it was like $18,000 a kid. That's 36,000 times two. Imagine how much you got to make to pay the taxes to come up with that. I busted my ass. You know, it was that simple. But for me, that was my priority. You know, so the reason I say that is, getting back to Adam's question, how did it affect you? You know, in a strange way, in a positive way, it affected Lucas really positively. Because Lucas woke up, you know. I mean, I was someone that, I was very protective with my kids. And, you know, yeah, we'd go travel and everything. But they went to a wonderful school and, you know, very diverse, by the way. But every kid was great. You know, it didn't matter if they're black or white or what they were. They were all like equals. They all had, you know, wonderful homes. There was no abuse. You know, it was just a wonderful thing. So Lucas all of a sudden was thrown into, I don't know how else to say it, but a shitstorm, you know. And honestly, I mean, while I love my son, I didn't know how he'd react. He could have crumbled. You know, or he could have called me up and said, "Dad, you know, I can't take this," or, you know, "this is too much." Oh, man. I'd call him. I'm like, "Lukey, man, are you okay? Like, we don't have to do this, you know." Or I'll come I mean, we're not giving this up. If you want, but the problem is I couldn't come because the international borders were shut down for like a year and a half. You couldn't get out of Thailand. There was nothing going in. There was nothing going out. So I, you know, when I left to Thailand, I never thought I wouldn't see my children for 3 years. So the positive was I saw Lucas become a man. Yeah, thank you. You know, and so it's been a hugely positive thing. My daughter was sort of in between things. 100%. She thinks like us, was outraged by what was going on. But, you know, she's like, Dad, you know, like, I want to have a career. Is this shit? And I tell her, I'm like, and I tell her all the time, and I say this to everybody that listen to me. If you think you're going to have a career with leftists, why would you want a life like that? You know, I mean, first of all, they have no integrity. Why would you want to work for a corporation or any kind of a business that, you know, that is okay with what's going on? Yeah. You know, and keep in mind, it's not just the U.S. You know, I don't know if you guys know, but the U.K. is much worse than the United States is, right? Much worse.
Canada.
You know, Canada, Australia. Yep. Ash, you're from New Zealand. Do you know about that guy? I wrote it down because I wanted you guys all to check him out. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. Barry Young. Check him out.
Okay.
What a guy. Yeah, this is like the last 2 days. But anyway, so my daughter, she's fine, you know. They want it to be over. Okay, my son wants it to be over just so we can move on. Now, you know, it's another year, but I've already mentally made up my mind. I mean, while it is my priority, up to this point, it was the main priority. I got to move on. I can't do this. You know, don't misunderstand. I mean, I will do anything and everything. I will put it all down. But I got to start thinking of other things too. You know, where it's like from the moment I wake up to the night. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to be 60 next year. It's just not healthy. It isn't. It's all negativity. And, you know, it just stress will kill you. So to tell you it doesn't stress me out, it stressed me out huge. It's been, you know. So what are you going to do? I always say, what was my choice? Yeah, I couldn't have done it. But then how embarrassing to my kids, to, you know, to you guys. Getting arrested. I mean, okay. Well, we give up now. No, you don't give up. You just don't. You take it to the end. And I mean, you know, I can't guarantee I'm going to win this thing. But if nothing else, look at the mess I've made for them. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of absolutely terrorizing. I shouldn't use that word, probably. No. I'm proud of terrorizing the city of Burbank. I am. You know what? For what they did, they can go fuck themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Sure, please.
So let's segue into something more positive.
Thank you.
So I have kids too.
Yes.
You know, and you said something about your concern for the next generation of kids that are coming up.
Yes.
I have the same concern as well.
Yes.
So in your mind's eye, like, what do you see in terms of how you would be involved with that next generation? Because I'm doing things right now with kids in order to kind of get them aware of what's going on around us, because the past 3 years really changed everything and everybody.
Yes.
Right? So is there anything that you're working on currently as a project or anything with the youth or kids or any sort of idea that you have?
You know, I mean, in the day, you know, it's just like there was corporations would help orphanages or this or that. Our problems now is on such a higher level. If we don't fix what's wrong at the top, in the cities and the governments and everything, because these guys are going to keep coming at us. You know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, we all live under this dome. And, you know, okay, I didn't comply. Well, you know, I mean, look what happened, you know, 3 years later, however long it's been. So, I mean, if you're asking me, do I get involved on a one-on-one basis? No, but I tell you, you know, after I'm done with this case, at some point it's got to end, I would imagine. I would stay with this. You know, I don't know in which realm. You know, some people are so nice. They're like, oh, you know, you should be, you know, something to do with Burbank or run for mayor. You know, honestly, you know, maybe this is a cop out. I'm so disgusted. I don't want anything to ever do with that city again. And plus, who's Burbank? I would much rather be able, you know, and I'm open to anything. You know, I want to help. I do, you know. But I think the most important thing I personally do these days is I just talk to people. You know, I mean one-on-one, not like this, thank you for coming. But, you know, I just try. And the other thing is, you know, thanks to my daughter, she's like, Dad, you know, before a year ago, I was a mean son of a bitch. You know, like I wasn't very tolerant. And if somebody got in my face, I'd tell them, I'm like, you are why my kids are going through shit. It's assholes like you that put me in this situation where you allowed a government to do this to us, you know? Can I just say one more thing, which is sort of related to all this? You know, Armenians throughout time have been very hardworking. They've been very, let's just say, top-tier people. Until the 1990s, okay? What happened in the 1990s? The Soviet Union collapsed. A lot of people don't know, but Armenia was actually the first republic. They were one of the 15 republics, you know, Russia, Kazakhstan, and all that. Armenia was the one that had hundreds of thousands of people spill into the streets and the demonstrations, and this is like Gorbachev and all that era, right? So the very first people that were able to get out of the Soviet Union were Armenians, okay? Now keep in mind, these are Soviet Armenians, born, raised, and drank the water of communism. So thousands of them came to California, okay? Now, in a communist country, there is no getting ahead. Okay, unless you're doing shady shit under the table, you're not going to get ahead. You're not. The system's not built for that. So, of course, the Armenians came, pretty smart people in general. What did they do? They looked at our healthcare system. Okay, I don't know if you guys remember. They're like, oh my God, it's like donuts. It's just holes in it. And they took our healthcare system for millions, billions of dollars in fraud. You know, it became a really famous thing. The reason I tell you that is because socialism and communism, really all it breeds is crime. Okay, there's no other way to get ahead. Okay, and as an Armenian, I can tell you, you know, the Armenians that came from there, now, you know, it's been what, 30 years, the new generation. And I knew people that were doing this shit. Now, their kids, thank God, are reasonable human beings. They're Americans. But what, and even the people that I knew were committing, you know, like large level fraud, you know, they've assimilated now. But I'm just saying that system breeds toxicity, you know, and that's the system that they're trying to bring here now. You know, when you're reliant on the government for everything, all it's going to do, and that's what, you know, but the last thing I'm going to say is nothing that's happening is by accident. None of it is by accident. You know, actually, they're doing a great job from a really scary, scary, dark point of view. You know. You know, when I'm in Thailand, I always tell people, you know, we got a lot of problems in the U.S., but it's the best place you could be, you know? And, you know, they don't like it when I say this. I'm like, there's nothing like an American. I'm like, look, our government's made all kinds of mistakes with wars and, you know, going overseas and kicking ass and, you know, weapons of mass destruction, whatever, you know? And mostly, you know, what's the real reason behind it? So I'm not talking about that. But I always tell them, if you see the average American who's armed, very important, we kick ass. We do. These are people with a soul, you know? And that's why, that for me, that's why the glass will always be full, okay? Because we're armed. And we still think for ourselves. Not all of us, but most of us. And they're spilling over to our side. Believe me. I think it'll work out, but just people got to step up.
I like your attitude.
Thank you.
My question is, I think you're owed at least three times what was taken from you. Are you going for it?
Well, I'm not going to stop.
Good.
You know, but, you know, I shouldn't talk about this. At this point, I just want something fair. You know, like, I've got a buddy of mine who thinks I'm going to be a multimillionaire. And I always look at him. I'm like, dude, are you insane? I just want to move on with my life. I want some kind of fair compensation. You know, they took away everything, you know. I mean, they took away my business. I mean, I had Tin Horn Flats for 20 years. You know, they just literally picked it out from us, you know. So, you know, this isn't a monetary thing for me. I mean, it is to a degree. You know, I just want something so I can continue on. But no, I'm not looking like, you know, it's not like, you know, like in the cartoons with dollar signs in my eyes. I just want to move on. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much for your story. You mentioned something about Thailand. Are they on the CBDC or something? Or tell us about Thailand and where they are at.
I got to be careful talking about Thailand.
Oh, okay. Well,
and I'll tell you why.
Tell us what you can.
Because when you go back and forth, you know, like in Thailand, at 50 years old, you can get a retirement visa. So that's how I would do it. And then, you know, you're free to come and go. But let me just describe some of the things that happen in Thailand. Okay. So the educational system, if you can call it that, in Thailand is truly an indoctrination system. They're not taught math. They're not taught science. They're taught nothing. Okay. So what the average kid does is they go, they got to wear uniforms because everyone's got to be uniform, okay? They're taught, you know, in India, they have a caste system. And if you don't know where you are in that system, well, you're in trouble. And you can't even marry outside of that system. Thailand is very much like that. You know, it's all tiers. And it's and you have to, you, what you have to do is you have to obey and respect people above you. So Thailand's a kind of a weird place. Let me just leave it at that. It's a very difficult place. Unless you're white or American or European, then it's great. For the Thai people, note, very few Thai people have left Thailand. The ones that are here, that's a whole other thing. Okay, but most people in Thailand haven't left a three-city block wherever they live. It's that kind of a place.
Hey, Barry, thanks so much, man, for coming out. Appreciate you. I'm just wondering, like, I personally, I don't know if I can speak for anyone else, but I respect your opinions, your insights into stuff and the world and America and obviously everything that's happened. Have you thought about, maybe you are, I don't know, but I thought about writing a book.
I have.
Because I'd buy it for sure.
Well, thank you. I wanted to resolve though first.
Fair enough.
Yeah, once it's done, I'd like to write it just so people know what happened. But, you know, just for some of these ideas I put out, you know, for people to realize it's really not about us, but it's about the kids.
Yeah, and it'll be healthy for you too, obviously.
I think so. Thank you, Ash.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for speaking to us. I have two questions. Is there any way we can get the depositions of Constantine Anthony and the health director and put it online?
I just deleted it off my phone. I would have sent it to you at this point.
Oh.
And the reason I did that is because my brother told me I had to start paying for my Google account because it was over 15 megabytes. So I'm like, I don't ever want to see this prick talk again. So he's the first guy I deleted. I can see. I mean, you know, I guess Garagos has it. I can see. It's pretty lame.
Yeah, it'd be good to get out there to ruin his chances of running.
Maybe it's still in your delete file.
No, I had to delete the delete file so it'd free up room. You know, let me see. Maybe Lucas has it. I'm sure he has it. But, you know, try and get Garagos on the phone. You know, and he's busy. He's a busy guy, you know.
And my next question is, how could people help you with your lawsuit?
Unfortunately, you know, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I don't think there is help. You know, I just gotta hang in there. You guys showing up today, and just all the kind stuff you guys write, you know, when I post on Tin Horn's Instagram, that's about it, you know? It's a painful, tedious process.
Barrett, I want to say this to you because we were in this thing together from the beginning. I am Dennis Napolitano, and I am the organizer of the Tin Horn Flats rally that started this whole thing.
Can I interrupt you?
Sure.
By the way, my family's known Dennis for many, many decades. He was a customer friend from the ISGO Photo Lab days when he was an actor.
Yes.
So I've known Dennis at least 30 years. More,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, I had to put that in.
But when I heard that his son, Lucas, got arrested for the third time, I got on the phone with a few people, and I said, this shit's got to stop now. So I got on the phone with Asia, who's right behind me right here, and Ashley. And I got in touch with Randy Berger, who's a merchandise woman for Trump rallies, and Holly Cleland. And we put together the Tin Horn Flats rally. We did it in one day. I got the phone call. I got the phone that he got arrested that night. And on the next morning, I was on the phone. We were putting up flyers. And we had 75 people on the corner at Tin Horn Flats that day.
Thank you, Dennis.
And that started that whole movement.
Yes.
My point is, my friend, don't give up.
Oh, no. I promise that's not going to happen.
You are fighting for freedom against tyranny. That's what this is all about. So if you're feeling like you're getting tired of this whole thing, you have a greater cause than everything else is going on. It's our country. It's our whole life. And you're fighting for all of us. And we are fighting for you, fighting with you.
Thank you.
Because this whole thing was, we were angry about this whole thing, why it happened, because we knew this was unconstitutional. We knew everything they did was wrong and illegal. And it's basically tyrannism coming again against us. So please, don't ever give up the ship.
Oh, no, I give you my word. I always write it on Instagram. I'll go down with the ship. I'm not gonna give this thing up. I mean, you know, I unfortunately, the only thing that's out of my power is Garagos, and he's hung in there. You know, he took this last defeat pretty good, and he said, "Hey, look, you know, I have some other ideas." You know, so. It will continue.
I want to see Barbara Ferreira hang by the noose. Yeah. I want to see Constantine Anthony taken out. I want to see the five supervisors in LA County. I want you to take them all down. Because this is what we're here for, this whole reason. We want to see this stop. We want to see this tyranny be destroyed and get our freedom back.
See, what I think is, by me continuing it, it's like the tide, you know? If I just do my little part, not give up, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there, because everything changes with time. I mean, look at how people perceive COVID, and look at everything coming out. So time, I always tell my kids, time is on our side. You know, you can't lie forever. You just can't. And people at some point start seeing what's reality and what's not. So as long as I keep that seed planted and just keep going at it, I mean, you know, Dennis, this is not going to be Tin Horn Flats saving the world here.
No.
But it's at least Tin Horn Flats keeping a conversation alive. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the actual building. It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody bought it, and someone's making a payment. And just between us folks here, I know for a fact that is not a small payment. Mm. So, I mean, you know, it must be wonderful to have that kind of dough of something sitting there rotting. So I don't know what's going to happen with it. You know, let me just say this. It's funny. No one knows this, not even Talia and Lucas. I was going to reach out. So let it be here today. I was going to reach out to the group that bought it. Let's open Tin Horn Flats there. He wants to have a restaurant. I saw he's going to call it Magnolia Corner or something. I don't want to be involved, but I want to be maybe an inspiration. You know, I don't want no ownership, or I don't want nothing. But I will back it up. I will recommend it, and I will give it my heart to help somebody. If he wants to keep the name, it's not like, you know, I want to sell a name, or I want to go. I'm not interested in that. But how lovely would it be? You know, it doesn't have to be on my dime. I mean, that's been stripped from me and my family. And it's fine, you know. And that's what my battle is all about. That's what our battle is all about. But if this dude is interested and he's watching this right now, he knows how to get a hold of me. I know that for a fact. And I'm open to that.
Keep up the fight. Never give up.
So, when I talked at the beginning, this is very personal for me. Because I got arrested at Tin Horn Flats for standing behind that Berlin Wall that they erected around the place. And I just wanted everybody to know a couple little details about that arrest and the unfairness of it. So I and Ash and Eric were all charged with remaining at the scene of a riot, obstructing and resisting a police officer, which obviously none of us did. We have three separate videotapes proving we didn't resist at all, and failure to comply with order to vacate. Those were the three misdemeanors they charged us all with. Yeah. So when we showed up, Eric and I showed up, Ash wasn't there that day. We showed up to court, and the court had no charges presented to them from the Burbank PD. So they never bothered to file this. But while we were in a jail for, I don't know, what, 6 hours, something like that, they took each of us individually into an interview room with two detectives. And I was asked, the first question I was asked in that detective room, and I want you to pay close attention to this, because it shows you, it's proof that the whole thing was political. The whole thing was political. They asked me if I was a Trump supporter.
I believe it.
They asked all three of us that, if I was a Trump supporter.
Imagine that.
And I said, what on earth does that have to do with these charges? You know, what in the world are you even thinking?
Let me paint a picture, too. These cowboys were like young, cocky guys in their 30s, chewing gum. Some clown had his hat backwards, thinking he was like Johnny Utah at a Point Break. These guys were losers. They were cocky and they thought they were cool. What a bunch of dicks. Just painting you a picture.
But what an embarrassment for them.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they're supposed to represent justice.
Right.
Asking you about a presidential candidate, you know? I mean,
right.
Of the president.
Right.
You know, I don't know what to say, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, they came after me originally because I kept posting Trump support. That's really how it started.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And by the way, I still love the guy. I mean, I don't think we have a... It's. I don't even know that we have a choice in the matter, so...
Yeah.
You know.
So, I just wanted to, you know, reiterate that they took away our freedom. And by the way, before they did that, they were all suiting up in riot gear, putting on plastic helmets, getting shields out, and they were threatening us with rubber bullets and tasers.
We have that on video.
Yeah.
You know.
So they were putting on this huge SWAT type response.
Well, they brought the tank in.
Yeah. And so that is what, unfortunately, the dishonorable Burbank Police Department did. And we talked to them face to face when they were just about to arrest us. And they were, oh, we don't want to do this. We don't want to do this. Then don't do it. Don't you have any honor or self-respect or anything?
Lucas would tell me that too when he got arrested.
Yeah.
He'd be like, kid, you know, we really don't want to be doing this. And that's what Lucas would say. He's like, then why am I going to jail?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny, but not funny.
Another thing I found out, which I want you to know about, is I was researching to file a case of unlawful arrest against the Burbank PD for this. And in the process of researching that, I found out that the restaurant was not closed by the health department.
No.
It was the building's...
right.
Buildings and maintenance, whatever they call that department.
Well, what they did was when they shut off our power and the phone lines, they came back in. They said, your exit signs aren't lit. No shit. Those are hardwired. So they said, well, you got to close. So
yeah.
That was it. That was the technicality.
So the whole pretense for shutting you down in the first place was because of COVID, you know, the big hoax fraudemic, and the closing of your restaurant wasn't even done by the health department. So there is some really dirty deeds going on behind the scenes in this whole thing. And I just want to encourage you to keep going and keep fighting.
Adam, you know, let me
tell
you.
And I'll help you any way I can.
Well, the honest truth of the matter is, guys, really, it's this thing is really out of my hands at this point. You know that. It's way above me. It's above my family. You know, and I hate being in this situation because I've always somebody that, you know, I'm responsible for my actions and I don't have to worry about anything else. But this is way past me. I mean, if it's all about Mark Garagos. It is. You know, I mean, it's all 100% in his hands. I mean, do I still, you know, do I have the oars in my hands? Oh yeah, I'm pumping as hard as I can, you know? But at the end of the day, you know, this is the guy.
I want everyone to know that we talk about the Constitution, but there was no statutory basis for the shutdown from the very beginning. And I tried to tell different restaurant owners about that. I called Pineapple. I think you had already had your issues. But there was no legal basis. And I challenged the city attorney in Santa Monica about that. He just, you know, dismissed me. Now he's the head of the state bar who's going after John Eastman. These people are very, very corrupt. They're criminals. And they need to pay. But the first instance is that there's no statutory authority. The Emergency Services Act does not allow the governor to do anything to any private individuals other than take property to handle an emergency. That's the only authority he has over individuals. His powers are all to direct the officers of the government to solve emergencies. And regarding the health regulations, they did not apply at all. No new laws were passed to allow them to implement the mandates that they pretended to implement. And all of their health orders, the references to any code were all referenced back to the penal code, which simply prescribed penalties for disobedience. But there was no authority for the orders in the first place. And few people know that.
So, Barrett, I can sense your frustration with the legal system, and I share that 100% with you. So I want to say this. Regardless of whether it's successful in court or not, there is one thing we can do, one power we have, and that's the power of public opinion. And I have enough to make a documentary about this right now. And that's something I want to do. I want to put this out for the world to see in all its gory details. and I want to destroy them in the field of public relations so that they never again have any careers in politics or gain any position of authority again. I have some footage, interviews with Lucas and a few other people that no one has ever seen before. And I'm going to include these in a documentary about Tin Horn Flats. And if we don't win in court, we're going to win in the courtroom of public opinion. And that's a promise.
Whatever I can do to help you, Adam. Thank you for coming.
If people want to follow what's going on with your court case, do you want to share your social media so people can follow what's going on?
Yeah, sure. It's on Instagram, and it's Tin Horn Flats Burbank is what it is. There's a bunch of fake sites that don't like us, so you want to make sure. It's got about 10,000 people. So, and then it's the picture is of the swinging doors. So it's Tin Horn Flats Burbank is where you want to go.
I just wanted to bring up something that most people I don't think know. You said it already that this was all based on a lie. Are you familiar with Naomi Wolf and her organization, The Daily Clout?
I don't believe I am.
Briefly, they have over 250 lawyers that are volunteers, thousands of people reading all of the documents. They have found, I just heard this last week from Naomi, that they ran two different strains of these so-called vaccines. They did get the emergency use strain available, but they shipped the one that they knew was damaging, not the one that they submitted for approval. You have the fact that this is being delayed. I think if you get in touch with Naomi and her people and her attorneys, I think you've got a good case here to show that these people that are government servants, they're supposed to protect you. And instead, they harm not only you, but they harmed everybody who took that shot.
Well, I mean, I didn't take the shot. My children didn't take the shot. I tried to talk everybody out of taking the shot. But, you know, at some point, I don't want to be an asshole either, you know, like forcing someone to not take the shot. It's the same thing as forcing someone to take the shot. Like, but I would try and reason, you know, especially with relatives that I really love a lot. So I don't know. You know, I try and stay, you know, that old saying, I try and stay in my lane, because if I don't stay in my lane here, if I don't concentrate on what I'm doing, it's really hard to get pushed, you know? I just got to see this thing through.
The issue is not that you didn't take the shot or not. The issue is that your local authorities were pushing you and forcing you to do things you didn't want to do.
Right.
They didn't protect you. They were given bad information. And rather than question the information, they went along just to go along for their own personal gain and power. So it doesn't matter who took the shot and who didn't. It's just a massive case of fraud.
Right.
And fraud vitiates everything right from the start, all the way down the channel.
So but when society is supporting that fraud, just like my court case was thrown out by my divorce attorney, divorce judge. You know, at some point, you're in their gun spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just there's only so much you can really do
at that moment.
Yeah.
But things are changing now.
Well, that's why I say it's a long-term thing. And I just stick to course.
And these people need to pay a severe penalty.
I hope so.
All right. Thank you. All right, everyone. This wraps up our Q&A. Let's give a big hand for Barry LePagean. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for coming. We're going to have a brief open mic. Brief open mic, so just speak your mind.
I have baseball caps for everybody.
Oh.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I brought them from Thailand, okay?
If anyone wants to say something, it's an open forum from now.
Thank you for keeping us, bringing us up to date on what's happening with Tin Horn Flats. I wonder if I should wait. Yeah, I'll wait.
officially official.
Are you, Travis, are you still rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, leave it rolling. I'm just going to say a couple things while people are talking.
I was going to announce an event at Basilico's next Saturday, dinner at 5 at Basilico's, but I kind of need to know who wants to go.
You know, what John was saying is correct. This whole thing was based on a fraud from the beginning. So that invalidates the whole chain all the way down to Tin Horn Flats. But, you know, we're in a situation now, and I think you can tell from some of our past speakers and from Barrett that the so-called justice system is being weaponized against us. And the process itself is becoming the punishment for people. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Ammon Bundy, while he was at one of his two trials, they kept him in a maximum security federal prison. They denied him bail, and they forced him to stay in solitary confinement for a full year. And he hadn't even been through his trial. He was later acquitted at his trial. But prior to the trial, they kept him in solitary confinement for a year because he would not submit to their invasive, disgusting strip searches that he would have had to have gone through to have visitors. So he refused to go through those strip searches. So they said, as punishment, you have to go into solitary confinement then. And they kept him there for a year. That's considered torture by Amnesty International. So that's what our system is now. And we have these cops, like the cops in Burbank, absolutely willing to just enforce anything that their superiors say, whether it's lawful or not. They're willing to do it. And so I would just say directly to the Burbank PD, have some honor, have some self-respect in yourself. Be like Officer Greg Anderson in Seattle. He came forward right at the beginning and said, I'm not going to enforce mask mandates. I'm not going to try to force people to get the vaccines. And he did it on a live stream wearing his police uniform in his police cruiser in Seattle. And you know what they did to Greg Anderson? They fired him. Okay? So that's what the system wants us to have, is these officers that are just willing to do anything, follow any instruction, no matter how wrong it is. So, you know, to the guys at the Burbank PD, I talked to some of you face to face, and I know you knew at the time what you were doing was wrong. You knew it at the time. And you still did it. So you are no better than the prison guards at the death camps in Germany, because you followed those orders even though you knew they were wrong. Just think about that.
Can you do me a favor? I'm sorry.
This is a totally different topic. Thank you, Adam. And thank you for the update on Tin Horn Flats. What I'm working on is a impromptu trip to Basilico's a week from last night. So next Saturday, meet at Basilico's at 5 p.m. and have dinner down there to support Tony Roman. I don't know how many of you know, probably most of you do know, that they came in a couple of months ago and completely cleaned out his bank account. And they took $100,000 out of that bank account. That was his operating expenses for his restaurant because he's refused to cave in. I love eating there. It's a wonderful experience. And I would like to get people together to go down there and support him, have dinner, have a great time with other, like Saturday. I don't know the date. It's yesterday was the 9th, so that would be the 16th, I think. Saturday the 16th, I think. But 5 p.m., go early. We'll go early so that we aren't going to be hitting the dinner crowd. But I kind of need to know how many people are coming so that we don't overwhelm his staff so he can be prepared. So I got a little sign-up sheet here. If you're interested, you can put your name on it, or even if you just want to know any other things that I put together, which doesn't happen very often. But that's it. Basilico's, Tony Roman, next Saturday, 5 p.m., for dinner with other Patriots.
I'll just make a few words because I always do. There's no GPRA meeting this month. Our next meeting will be January 15th. But I want to tell a quick story about the Burbank PD. I live here in Pasadena. I called Adam Schiff. I called all of our local Congress people in Southern California. So there's like five or six of them that I called. I can't remember what it was. But I made a comment about how, number one, I think they should all be on a slow boat to China. And number two, I think they should all be hung. And I said, all of you guys should be hung. Well, about 3 days after I left that voicemail, I get a knock on my door. And it's the Burbank Police Department. I'm living here in Pasadena. Two guys from the Burbank Police Department, they knock on my door. They said, did you call Adam Schiff the other day? I said, yes. They said, what did you say? I said, I don't know. I called a bunch of people. They said, well, we have the transcript right here. I said, so what did I say? They said you want to see him hung. I said, yeah, I want to see him hung and all of them hung. And guess what? I'm not going to do it. You guys should do it. And I gave them a piece of my mind. I was like, how are you guys putting up with this? You know, you're the police. I'm just here by myself, all alone. I have nothing. Why aren't you hanging them? And I closed the door and I went around the back because I didn't really let them in. I didn't really open my door, but I went around my backyard and I'm yelling over the fence, you guys should do this. You're the one, you know, and it was the Burbank Police Department that showed up at my door. So, not good. Thank you.
So, this was just brought to my attention by this gentleman right over here. Article 6 of the Constitution says at the very end, the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. So what that means is all those officers had to take an oath to become officers in the first place, and they all violated it over and over and over and over during the past 3 years and probably long before that too. But all the judges have to swear on oath too, just so everybody knows that.
Well, unfortunately here in this state, there's a lot of people that don't have that anymore because they've changed the system about how they're doing it. However, what most people don't know is that when the trials in Germany, instead of using the administrative state function to go after these guys, they went after them under common law. Because if they went under the administrative state, they would be going under saying, I was just following orders, and that would give them immunity. So if you go under the common law, that does not apply. These people have to be gone after by the people under the common law. Oath or no oath, doesn't matter.